is found in the book of Genesis, the second and the third chapter. We have today the consideration of the fall of man. We find that God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God then took the ground, the dust, and formed a man out of it. How wonderful is God in creation. He formed him in a beautiful form, for the Bible teaches us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Those whose profession it is to examine the body have throughout all ages found that what the Bible says of us being fearfully and wonderfully made is true, because throughout all the years that this world has stood, science has been searching into the body of mankind, and they must admit that a divine hand has created it. This man that was formed out of the dust of the ground, he was but a lifeless lump when God formed him. Until God, who is a spirit, breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, he would have remained just a clump of dust, a beautiful form. But God, who is the spirit, gave unto this form life, and it began to live. Man became then a living soul. Man was created by God then. He is made of body and soul. This is a wonderful thing, considering that the animals who God created are not as mankind is. For man has a soul that shall live forever, where an animal has no soul. When an animal dies, they put it in the ground, and that's the end of its life. But when a friend of yours or a relative of yours dies, and they bury it, it has a soul. Its soul either goes to heaven or to hell. Awful, isn't it? There's only two places. It's an awful consideration when we have somebody that we love and they pass away, and we must make such a judgment according to the word of God on it. But, my hearers, where are you going to go when you die? There are only two ways. Consider it, my hearers, for we all must die. And this man then, created and formed by God, was created in righteousness and in true holiness. He was created without sin. He was created in the image of God. If we could have seen Adam, we would have seen a picture of God in this man. And now God took this man and he put him into a garden which he had planted in the eastern part of Eden, a beautiful garden, majestic, fertile, and having everything in it that was necessary for Adam's existence. God caused to grow out of the ground every herb of the field and every tree of the garden. He grew likewise the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and of evil, which he planted in the midst of this garden. And now God took this man and put him into this garden. Adam had all what he needed in this garden. Adam had a wonderful communion and fellowship with his Creator. He lived with him daily. He enjoyed then everything that God had given unto him. He was made Lord over the world. He had everything in subjection to him, the animals, the fowls, and the fishes of the sea. And now God caused all the animals to come unto Adam to see what name he would give unto them. And Adam, he gave names unto all the cattle and unto the fowls of the air. These names are still in existence to this day. We see amidst the wonderful wisdom that God had given unto Adam in causing him to name all these animals according to their own nature. Every name fits the animal that has it. And now there was one thing lacking with Adam. Adam had no companion. He had no helpmate. And God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will create a helpmate for him. And now God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And in this deep sleep, God opened the one side of Adam and took a rib out of his body. And he closed up the flesh thereof. Now this is a wonderful thing. When you consider that Adam, in a state of righteousness, was not subject to any pain. Adam never had a headache. He never had a toothache. He never had a backache. Adam, he never was afraid. When we have thunder and lightning sometimes, we are full of fear. Adam had no such fears. Adam walked with his Creator and talked with him. He enjoyed him immensely. Adam, he was not subject to cold or heat. He was not subject to any sickness or disease. Adam was free from all these things in a state of righteousness. And now God took this rib out of Adam's body while he was in a deep sleep. Today, when somebody has to be operated on, a physician causes the patient to go into a deep sleep. They usually even give them a pill or a needle, and the person is unconscious while the doctor is operating on that afflicted part of his body. God needed no narcotics. He needed no needle. He needed no pill. He just by his power caused Adam to come into this deep sleep and opened his body and took his rib out. And God formed out of this rib of Adam's body a woman, a beautiful woman, of the loveliest kind and of a perfect mind. And he brought this woman to Adam, and he married him and her together. God did this. God brought this woman to Adam, and he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she was taken out of man, therefore he called her woman. As God joined Adam and Eve together, so does he this day join man and wife together in his holy providence and for wise purposes. What a mercy to receive a woman from the Lord. This is what Adam received. He received a wife from God. And many in the time in which we are living in consider not God in this choice of a partner for life. Some choose beauty, some choose money, some choose for the flesh. How few seek God to have a mate to go. Young people listening to me, before you enter into this venture, get on your knees and ask God to give you a man or a woman. And if you receive one from the Lord, you receive a great blessing. Now this woman then was brought to Adam. He was all alone in this beautiful garden. And now he had a companion. Now he had somebody to talk to. He had somebody to walk with through the garden. Hand in hand, they went through this beautiful paradise. And they both together enjoyed the communion and the fellowship of their Creator. And what a wonderful state these two people were in, my hearers. These people, as I said, were not subject to any ills or any afflictions or even cold or heat, because at the end of this second chapter we read that they were both naked and they were not ashamed. In this deed of righteousness, they knew no shame. There was no such thing as shame. They knew not that they were naked. And now we find that God, in his infinite mercy, had created these two people in a wonderful state. This was the state that you and I were in. We were included in these people, my hearers. And now we read in the first verse of the next chapter that the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field that God had created. And he said unto the woman, as God said, thou shalt not eat of the trees that are in the garden. And the woman said, we may eat of the trees that are in the garden, but of the trees that are in the midst of the garden, God has said, thou shalt not eat thereof, neither touch it, or thou shalt die. This tree then is called the tree of knowledge, of good and of evil. And there was likewise the tree of life. Adam and Eve had access to all the trees except this one tree. They could eat freely of the fruit of all the trees that were in the garden, even of the tree of life. But they were not permitted to eat of this one tree called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now this serpent that came unto this woman, according to the commentary, he was a beautiful animal. He walked erect. We know from Scripture that angels who were created holy and happy rebelled in heaven against God and retained not their holy and happy estate. They sinned against God, and God cast them out of heaven. The ringleader thereof is called Satan. The more than he became a sinner, he was a Satan. The more he became a traitor to God, he became an enemy of God and was filled with wrath and enmity against him. And these angels, not just one, but a multitude of them, are doomed unto everlasting misery and pain in hell below. And they are fully aware of what awaits them. And therefore, as this ringleader, Satan, he looked down upon these two people, and he saw in them the image of God. He saw the blessed state and happiness that these two people were in, and he envied them. And he thought in his mind, if I only could get them to disobey God, that they likewise may become enemies of God. And now the ringleader, Satan, he took possession of the serpent, this beautiful animal. And he came to the woman, probably when she was alone, separated from her husband. This serpent was none other than Satan. We know from Scripture that during the time when Christ was upon earth, there were many that were possessed with devils. And they that were possessed with devils, they spake many times. The devils spake in them. So likewise here, the devil was speaking through this serpent to this woman. He approached her and made it appear unto her as if her heavenly creator, the God who had formed her, had denied her of the right to eat of all the trees that were in the garden. He spoke to her in such a tone of voice as if to say, he who is your creator, he forbids you to eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. Now this was not true in the first place, but God had commanded Adam and Eve that they should not eat of this one tree, which she confesses unto the serpent that it was the command of God. Now this tree, it was set in the midst of the garden as a beacon unto Adam to obey God. He had access to all the trees. He didn't need this tree. These two trees were material trees. The fruit on them were material fruit. They were both good to eat. There wasn't anything wrong with the fruit on either one of these trees. But now out of the midst of all the trees, God forbid him to eat of this one tree. Adam accepted this. This is called the covenant of works. Adam, in this state that he was in, he had no need to transgress any one of God's commandments because he was perfectly holy as God was. He had no need to erect an idol or an image and bow down to another god because God had created him. He had no need, likewise, to kill anyone outside of the one that had come forth out of his own body. He could not transgress that commandment. He could not transgress this commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, because he had a wife given unto him by God. Likewise, he had no need to covet anybody else's possessions because everything was his. There was no need for him then to transgress any one of God's commandments. And here now God gave him this commandment, that he should not eat of this tree. And this was set up for Adam, that he should be obedient to God. And now if he obeyed, there lay this in it, that if he obeyed God and did not eat of this tree, then he would merit thereby eternal life for himself and for all his posterity. He would retain that state of blessedness and happiness in which he was if he had obeyed God. He was set then on a pinnacle. Do this and thou shalt live. Do it not and thou shalt certainly die. And now Adam made this known likewise to his wife. She was fully aware of this. She had not yet been created when God entered into this covenant with Adam. But Adam, he made this known unto his wife. And now this Satan, this serpent, he came with this temptation to the woman, being she was the weaker vessel and she was alone. And he made it appear unto her as if God was a grudge and denied her of the use of eating of the trees in the garden. But she came forth to him with the commandment that God had given unto her and her husband. Considering this, my hearers, in your own mind, you would say she should have immediately been on the alert. Because this animal began to speak to her. This should have been a suspicion to her already. She should have went to her husband and said, come, here's an animal that's talking to me. She did not. Likewise, he began to speak against her creator. This already should have gave her some intimation that this that was talking to her, it was something that was evil, that was sinful. Now unknown to her, that these angels had fell away from God and had become demons, unknown that this was Satan in this serpent, and that she was being tempted by him, she listened to him. And he said unto her, God knows that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt not surely die, but thou shalt become as God himself, knowing good and evil. Your eyes shall be opened, he said unto her, and you shall know as God knows good and evil. And now this, what he presented unto her, was a temptation that she would be like God. And it was to her as if he said, this God in heaven, he denies you that. He don't want you to be like him. Now if you eat of that fruit, then you'd be like him, even above him. You'll even be wiser than him. And as she looks at that fruit, and as she looks at that fruit is so beautiful. And she admires it, and she gets a corrupt lust in her heart for that fruit, to eat of it. And she began to think of what he said. Well, if I eat of that, then I'll be just as wise, and if not wiser, than God himself. And this corrupt lust, and this thinking of what he had said, that she would not surely die, she received a doubt. She received unbelief concerning the threatening that God had given unto her and her husband. And she took of the fruit and she ate thereof. She disobeyed God. She transgressed his commandment deliberately. And now she probably took of the fruit of this tree and she went to her husband and she told him what she had done. And she probably held this fruit up for him. And she said, look how beautiful it is. Why don't you take of it too? Adam, did he say unto his wife, woman, we're not supposed to eat of that fruit. God has forbidden us to eat of it. I'm not going to eat of it. No. Adam deliberately took of the fruit and he ate of it too. And he sinned and he transgressed the commandment of God. And immediately they died. They died to God spiritually. Immediately this death took place. And their eyes were open, and they saw that they were naked. And they went to a fig tree, and they took the fig leaves of that tree and made themselves aprons to hide their shame. When they were in the state of righteousness, they had no shame. They didn't know what shame was. They were naked. But immediately when they sinned, they became ashamed. And they covered themselves with these fig leaves. And they heard the voice of the Lord God in the cool of the garden. And when they heard his voice, they became afraid, and they hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. Before, when they heard his voice, they took a hold of each other's hand, they ran to their God, to their Creator. They began to speak to him. They were so glad that he came to meet with them and commune with them. But now when they heard his voice, they were filled with a slavish fear. A slavish dread. They had sinned. This threatening was pursuing them already. So they went and they hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden, a proof that they've lost the knowledge of God. When they were in a state of righteousness, they knew that God knew everything, that they couldn't conceal themselves from him. They had no need to do so. But now in this state they went and hid themselves, as if God could not find them, as if God did not know where they were. And now they hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. Believe me, my hearers, that if God had not come to them first, they, like Jonah, they would have departed forever from the presence of God. But all the infinite love, the mercy, the pity, the compassion that this God had concerning these two people that he had created, they had sinned against him. They had rebelled against him. They had done what was evil in his holy sight. And still, my hearers, he was the first one to come to them. And he called and said unto Adam, where art thou? Adam heard this voice. Adam had to come forward now. Adam had to come before his Creator. He couldn't conceal himself any longer. Adam must come to God now. And would he now come and confess what he had done? He spake unto God and said, I have hid myself amongst the trees of the garden because I am naked. And God said unto him, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree that I commanded thee of not to eat thereof? O Adam, he came not, my hearers, in uprightness to God. But he says, the woman that thou gavest unto me, she gave unto me, and I did eat. He cast the blame upon the woman. Oh, Adam should have came forward and fell down and said, oh God, I've sinned. I've eaten of that tree that I shouldn't have eaten of, and now I see the consequences of it. I'm naked, my eyes are open now, and I'm afraid of thee. But Adam didn't come that way. Adam cast the blame upon his wife. All my hearers, we are all in this respect like Adam. When caught in an act of evil or something that we should not do, and we are accused thereof, then we likewise would seek an excuse. We would blame it on someone else. And if not, we would try to lie ourselves out of it. This is you and I. Adam knew not the blessedness yet of coming before God with an honest and an upright and a sincere confession of his sin. He had not this yet, my hearers. This was the first time that he ever had sinned. And now Adam had to come in this way, casting the blame upon his wife. And now God turned to the woman and said unto her, what is this that thou hast done? She says, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And now God went to the serpent, and he said unto him, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go all the days of thy life, and dust shall be thy food. Then God spake further unto the serpent, and said unto him, that the seed of the woman, which would come forth out of her, and would bruise his head, but the seed of the devil would bruise his heel. God in this verse gave a promise that out of the seed of the woman there would come one forth that would bruise the head of this serpent. This was the first promise that God gave of a Savior unto of these two people who have just sinned, and that the devil would bruise the heel of Christ, that when he entered into this world, this promise was something wonderful for these two people. These two people expected nothing else but the fulfillment of the threatening that God had attached to eating of the tree, and that was that they should die. They did die, as I said, my hearers. They died to all communion, to all fellowship with God. They died to all the love and all the affection that they had. They lost it all. And they found in them, to their bitter sorrow, a heart filled with enmity, filled with sin and rebellion against their Creator and their Maker. These two people then, they were brought before God, and they both cast the blame, the one on his wife and the one on the serpent. And the one that was the serpent, he was spoken to immediately. He was not spoken to as Adam and Eve was, but he was immediately cursed by God. And this animal from then on was compelled to creep upon its belly, and dust would be mingled with its food. And this animal, the serpent, one of the venomous animals that live, is one of the animals that is hated and pursued the most. And in its vengeance and in its anger many times, to defend itself, has struck at those that have pursued it, and has, by its poison, caused those persons to die immediately. These people then, they were again spoken to by God. And God said unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy conception and sorrow. For in sorrow thou shalt conceive and bear children, and in sorrow thou shalt live upon the earth, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. God then, because of her sin, would greatly increase the pain and the sorrow of bringing forth children. This woman then and her sex ever after would experience what this sin had brought into the world. Every woman that bears children knows what the pains are of childbirth. And many of them weep and cry in their pains. Many of them likewise sometimes succumb due to the pains and the sufferings that they are undergoing when they bring a child into the world. And all many of them likewise have this child just born unto them, and they must lose it. Oh, what sorrow, what grief, my hearers. Carrying it for a length of time, and then bringing it forth and losing it. But then again, how many children are the cause of so much sorrow and grief to their dear parents? Oh, how many, like Adam and Eve, are disobedient to their parents, will not listen, will not obey them, are headstrong and go on in their sins, to the grief and to the sorrow of those who have reared them up and have tried their utmost to bring them in the right way, but find that their children rise up against their parents, speak harsh and cruel words to them, which are like piercing arrows sometimes in their hearts. All my hearers, what sorrow, what grief have mothers experienced and are still experiencing even at the present time. How many see their blessed sons taken from their homes, placed in the battlefront, and killed, never to return home anymore. What sorrow, what grief there is in this United States of America at this present time, in the hearts of many mothers due to this sin. My hearers, I could go on, but time's past. The Lord willing, we'll pick up the case, this lesson, next week. The Lord bless what I have given to you out of his precious word to your immortal souls. That's all for today.